Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Hallelujah. Stand to your neighbor and say something good is going to happen to you. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you that you have ordained for us to be in this place. We ask you to glorify yourself in our midst. We ask you to communicate to us, touch us where only you can, transform us, make us a whole other person. Oh God, may we come out of this place having been turned into another man, into another woman. Oh God, we want to be your vessels. We want to be those through whom you fulfill your purposes, those through whom your wishes, your desires come to pass. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Yes, so last Sunday we spoke about big things out of small things. And we gave some examples from the Bible to show that in many ways, God has always been, through people, causing the overcoming of things greater and things wiser and things more noble. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. So God uses people to overcome things great in wisdom, in strength, and in nobility. Hallelujah. And we said that he does it not by... glory to Jesus. Let's go and read there. I don't want to lose you. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse, hallelujah, hallelujah, verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world, of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God." Verse 25, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So what we shared last Sunday is that the gospel of salvation comes to us mostly finding us as the weak, the foolish, and the what? And the base things of this world. We are nothing. Hallelujah. But through Christ, who is the power of God and the wisdom of God, we become the opposite. Hallelujah. We become strong, we become wise, and we become noble, or we become something. That's what noble means. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. And so I took that portion of scripture to explain to us that this is why we must understand that what is overcoming the world is not foolishness. That you see, sometimes when we tell people, just come as you are, Jesus will receive you as you are, we give them the impression that when you come to Jesus as you are, you stay as you are. But that's not what the Bible teaches. When you come to Jesus, you are nothing, you're foolish, you're weak, but then God does something with you. Hallelujah. He transforms you. And there's an illustration of that regarding these same people that Paul is talking to in chapter 4. If you remember chapter 4, verse 8. Now Paul is talking to those same people. He had just told that they were weak, they were foolish, they were nothing. And then in verse 8 of chapter 4, now he tells them, now you are full, now you are rich, you have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God that you did reign, that we might also reign with you. Hallelujah. And the same, something similar, something connected is mentioned also two verses down in verse 10, where he says, we are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are what? Strong. You are strong. You are honorable, but we are what? We are despised. So I wanted to show you that last Sunday, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, to show us that this is what happens as a result of us coming into contact with Jesus, who is the power of God and the wisdom of God. That's how come we overcome the world, because he says the weakness of God is stronger than what? Than men. And the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Now today, actually I got this hint last Sunday. I just thought, in case Pastor asks me to preach again, I'll talk to you about the exceptional overcomer. Hallelujah. Now, just as that statement says, there are people that are overcomers, but as an exception, the way they overcome is not the way all other believers overcome. Hallelujah. I'm going to show that to you. Now, glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Well, it's in 1 John, but I want to first show you just a little bit of here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where we've just read, if we go back, now let's back up and read it all together from verse 8. It says, now you are full, now you are rich, you have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God you did reign, that we might also reign with you. For I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are what? You are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Then verse 11, even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring. Offscouring means refuse or rubbish. The rubbish of all things unto this day. Now, what the Lord wanted me to pass on to you about the exceptional overcomer is that what we learned about last Sunday is what should be the norm for all Christians. Hallelujah. When we get born again, you as a believer should expect your fortunes to change, if I may use that word, just a fancy word to mean the things that you possess, the things you are, the things you consider as worth to change. Hallelujah. And those are the things Paul tells the Corinthians have happened to them. However, there is an exception to the rule. Hallelujah. And that is people like the Apostle Paul, whom for some reason God expects them to expect that things are not going to be like they are for the rest of the Christians. Hallelujah. And Paul says it here. He says, you people are wise, but we are fools. You people are on top, but we are last. You people are something, but we are rubbish in the world. Hallelujah. He's not talking about before they got born again. He's talking about now. That now, after we are born again, you guys are doing well, but us, things are not the same. Hallelujah. However, hallelujah, even when he says this, he says it not from a defeated point of view. Hallelujah. This weak person that he is, this seemingly poor person that he is still an overcomer, just like you are, but not the same way. Do you understand that? That is why I'm going to get there, but in the book of Hebrews, you'll notice there are like two categories of people. The main people that are put up front and are talked about are those who won victories through their faith. Through faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed, and she brought forth a child when she was past the age of childbearing. Through faith, Abraham received his son back, as if back from the dead. Through faith, Moses fled from Egypt, and he was able to survive because he trusted in God, who rewards those who trust in him. I'm paraphrasing. But then when you get towards the end of the chapter, then he brings a second category of overcomers. Now, when you read about those overcomers, you don't quite see them in the glow that these other ones are in. Hallelujah. Because these ones, he said, they wandered in dens and caves of the earth. They were in deserts. They were in secluded places. Some of them refused to be rescued from death, that they might attain to a better resurrection, the Bible says. And others even, I think, were mocked. They received severe trial by authorities and things like that. But still, Paul says, of them the world was not worthy. Do you remember that? Now, I wanted to show you that there is also a place for those kind of overcomers. Hallelujah. In fact, at some level, all of us have a share of a measure of that in our lives. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's look at it in the scriptures. Now, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and read it systematically, and then we'll see what the Bible is telling us. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Verse 28, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to read up to, well, maybe 34 or 37. Verse 28, are you there? All right, it says, but, and if you marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have what? Trouble in the flesh. But I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remains that both those who have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced, what? As though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. But I would that you be without carefulness. He that is unmarried cares for the things of the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married cares for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. Therefore, there is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and what? And spirit. But she that is married cares for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, or that which is good, that you may attend upon the Lord without destruction. Verse 36, but if any man think that he behaves himself improperly or uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and need so require, let him do what he will. He does not sin. Let them marry. Now verse 37 is the one I wanted you to see. It says, nevertheless, he that stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and has so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. Hallelujah. Then verse 39, so then he that giveth her in marriage does well, but he that gives her not in marriage does better. Now, what I wanted to say about overcomers, I mean, the exceptional overcomers versus us, the general believers, is that it is as if the rest of us, the general believers, overcome while we are in the world. But these other exceptional believers, it's as if they are supposed to live in the world as if they are not in the world. Do you understand? For example, if you're not married, you're not like the rest of us. There are some troubles you don't have. That's what Paul said, isn't it? He said, these people will have trouble in the flesh. So there's a way in which you're not like us. Some things we talk about, Toby Tegera, because you're not in the world in that sense. Are you getting it? Then in the same sense, also these people who are like the Puritans, the monks, people who live in monasteries, they are also not exactly in the world. They don't use debit cards. They don't get loans. They don't have national IDs. You understand? They don't line up for receipts. So they are not in the, they are in the world, but they are not exactly in the world. Are you getting that? So the way they are still overcomers. Remember when Jeremiah was making his plea to God, all the prophets are dead, I'm the only one who is left. And then the Lord told him, I have kept 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to what? To Baal. But they were hiding some. You understand? You surely can't say that God wanted also Elijah to go and hide so that he cannot bow the knee to Baal. There are some of us whom God expects to live in the world and to overcome the world from the world. Are you getting that? Now, that's I think it's a very important lesson for us. And the thing is, we are the majority. Are you getting that? Thank God for the 7,000 who are in a cave somewhere, but they don't know what we are going through. Hallelujah. So we shouldn't envy them so much. We feel good for them, man. They are pure. They've kept themselves, but God is also with us. Hallelujah. Now, I wanted to show you that what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 is the general rule. But like you know, in everything, like Pastor Moses told us one time, there are always exceptions. The exception does not change the rule. It only means you recognize it is there. Hallelujah. Just like gravity. Gravity is the rule, but we know planes fly. We know ships, which are much heavier than water, are floating. However, you don't go and jump into the water because you saw a ship floating. Hallelujah. Gravity will work on you. Because you are the rule. Hallelujah. Oh God. Hallelujah. So, what I wanted to show you is, we are overcoming the world from the world. In 1 Corinthians 5,
Paul said, 5 verse 10, he said, that when I told you not to keep company with fornicators and adulterers, I did not mean the fornicators of this world, because then you would have had to go out of this world. Do you see that? However, I meant the fornicators who have the name of brother or sister. In other words, the believers. Glory to Jesus. So that scripture means we cannot go out of this world. We must live in this world. And we overcome the devil from this world. So what I'm trying to say is, the person, for example, like Paul said in this scripture that we've read, that he wished that everyone were unmarried and had no need, had no necessity, like that which draws a person to marry someone or get a spouse. Glory to Jesus. However, glory to Jesus. That does not mean that we are not all overcoming the world. Praise the Lord. The person who is in the world, who has to engage with the world, overcomes the world by being moderate, while this other person who is not married overcomes the world by abstaining. You understand? Both of us are overcoming the world. On the day you are, let's say when you're fasting, let us assume food is bad, right? So you are doing what? You are subduing food by not eating any. But me who is eating is subduing food by eating a moderate amount. Hallelujah. By the Bible says, put a knife to your throat if you're given to appetite. We are both overcoming the world. Are you getting that? So Paul here says that the unmarried person cares about the things of her. Of first of all, he says the things of the world, and then he clarifies and says the things of her husband, and also vice versa. The husband cares about the things of the wife, and those things are called things of the world, right? Now, what does he come, when he goes down the verses, what does he say? He says, it is time that those who have wives be as if they don't have wives. And those who are married be as if they are not married. Do you notice he didn't say it's time that those who are married get unmarried? He didn't say get unmarried so that man, you get away from the things of the world. No, he rather said be as if you are what? Unmarried. How? In that you care both for the things of the world and the things of the Lord. Isn't it? Now, that's what I'm trying to say. We are all overcoming. How do you overcome? You overcome by not allowing. You see, when the Bible says the cares of this world, in about the parable of the sower, the thorns were the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for many things, which come in and choke the what? They choke the word so that it does not bear fruit. Now, notice the cares of life are just cares of life. They're not cares of evil life. They are cares of life. Riches in themselves are neutral. They are not bad or good. However, the issue is moderation. Are you seeing that? Now, the Puritan, the monastic, the monk, someone in the desert somewhere does not have such troubles. Hallelujah. He doesn't have troubles of you've gotten many loaves of bread or you've overcharged your credit card. Now you're going to get in debt. He doesn't have those troubles. However, his the way he is to overcome the world by abstaining is the way I'm to overcome the world, by not letting the cares of this world choke the what? The word. However, I am supposed to still engage with the cares of this life. Are you seeing that? If they call you right now and tell you your child has fallen down, come and pick your child. You'll not say, no, I just need to listen to the word. That's the most important thing. No, those cares are also to be cared about. That's why he didn't say let the married get unmarried. He said rather let the married be as if they are what? Let the married be as if they are unmarried. Glory to Jesus. Now, let's read it a little bit again here. Notice verse, we're in chapter 7, right?
Okay, so in chapter 7, look at verse, so we said there's verse 28, where he says, but, and if you marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have what? They shall have trouble in the flesh, which means they will have certain troubles that those who are not married don't have. However, he who has married has done a good thing. Okay, how many of you would agree that building a house has troubles? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But how many of you agree that building a house is a good thing? Right? So, God may tell you, you, my man of God, my woman of God, I don't want you to build a house because I don't want you to have those troubles. But now, that doesn't mean that, it doesn't mean where you are, there are no troubles. There are also troubles there. Actually, your own kind of troubles, which we also don't understand. We also don't know how people go through those kind of troubles. So, he said they'll have trouble in the flesh. Now, in verse 37, now he brings in this other thing. Verse 37, I told you about the cares of this world. He says, nevertheless, he that stands steadfast in his heart, having no what? Having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and has decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. This is abstinence he's talking about. You understand? The person who abstains has chosen to overcome the cares by being outside of them. But me who lives in the world, I must find a way to overcome them in the midst of them. And that is also good. That's what the Bible is trying to tell us. Now, that is actually good news. Like I said, when God told Elijah, that there are 7,000 who have bowed the knee. Wonderful. Those people hadn't seen the troubles Elijah saw. They didn't have to run from... God didn't want Elijah to run from Jezebel. But nevertheless, they also didn't know what it is like, man. When the woman has said, by this time tomorrow, your head will be off. The other 7,000, thank God they didn't bow, but they also were not in enough danger to not bow. Hallelujah. For us to commend them that you guys didn't bow. But there was no knife on their what? On their neck. Hallelujah. So that is what Bible teachers have counseled us, that we must learn how to do spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. That's why sometimes, although we protect our children, we also have to learn how to, with care and with guidance, introduce them to the world. Because if you insulate them 100%, believe me, even if they reach 40, one day, one time, they are going to come into contact with the world. And then all these necessities that Paul talked about are going to arise. But it's good when you're able to see the thing that you can have. Like one time I was told, now this is funny because it's about monks. So one time I was told there were these monks, I think in a monastery or something. So one, monks. I've always known them as monks. Anyway, so these monks were in a monastery or something. So after some years, I don't know whether it's their head or someone took them to the market. So when they went to the market, they had never seen a woman. So when they went to the market, this monk saw a woman. he couldn't be distracted. They tried to make him look the other side and so on. So he asked the leader, what are those? Then the leader told him, those are geese, goose, plural of goose, geese. They're like ducks anyway. So those are geese. So then he sort of told him, let's go and do our things. So they go and do their things. Then stopped and said, but can I have one of those geese? This guy has never seen any of these geese in his life. How did he get the desire for them? Hallelujah. Like I said, hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah. What I'm trying to say is that those desires,
inherently are connected to something that is neutral. It's not good or bad. So if you don't teach someone from childhood to be able to see and like, but then say no, see and like, but then say no, then they will reach a time when they will just have to get it one way or another. Hallelujah. So the good news here is that whether we are living in the world or out of the world, we are both given a certain kind of overcoming to do. Hallelujah. Now, I wanted to remind you of this part also. There's something we read here. So he says the married care about the things of the world. Then he says, now notice what he says here in, so we read in verse 29. He says, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remains that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not. Now look at that last statement there. And they that buy as though they what? As though they what? They possessed not. And then verse 31, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world is passing away. That's what I was trying to say, that we are in that category of the people that use this world. We use roads, infrastructure, mobile money, banking system. We are using things of this world. So we are using this world. But there are people that God will separate. He will tell them, I don't want you to what? To have contact. Like John the Baptist was sent into the wilderness. And he was there eating wild locusts and wild honey until the time of his showing to Israel. Hallelujah. So he was one of those who needed to not use this world. And also that is overcoming. Hallelujah. Because man, you're there. I just don't know how you're managing without rice and meat and beds and duvets. But you're overcoming. I commend you. You sleep. Those movies we see where people sleep in the bush and the camp. Man, you guys, just keep it up. Eh? Let me go to my bed. But you're overcoming. Now, the rest of us who are here in our beds and in our comfort places, we're also overcoming things. Honestly, you also don't know about them. Like right now, the other day I was thinking about how does, let's say, an American or a Briton stay sane, you know? They wake up in the morning and you go through the day and you still have presence of mind. You're meeting someone who is telling you they don't know whether they're a man or they're a woman. And then the other one is telling you that, you know, they think that they are, what do they call them? These guys from outer space. Alien entities. They think they were here in another life. Then this other one believes in reincarnation. Then the other one is, I mean, that alone is spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. You're in the school and some of the parents, some of the things they are recommending for how the school should be run. But the Puritans are not facing any of that. They don't have any of those things you're talking about because theirs is like how China is now with COVID. They want zero COVID. What? What do they call it? You know, they don't want COVID. They don't even want you to contract COVID. Hallelujah. Let alone getting cured of it. They totally want zero footprint. Hallelujah. So in the monastery, in the desert, in the places where these people are wandering, they do not have the troubles that we have. But they also have troubles. Hallelujah. And God, in fact, some of them, their victory is going to be seen in the afterlife. God is going to commend them. You remember in the book of Revelation, it says that he who overcomes, I will give him to sit on one of my thrones. He who overcomes, I'll give him white clothes that, you know, he may walk with me in white. He who overcomes, I'll give him any. Some of those people, we are going to see them after. Now, let me show you something interesting. So, in Hebrews chapter 12, glory to God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. So, now, no chastening for the present seems to be what?
joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. Hallelujah. Chapter 12, verse 11. So, are you there? It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their what? Testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. He's talking about people like those we've talked about. You see, they are martyrs, they are eunuchs. You know eunuchs, like a castrated man or something. You can class eunuchs together with those who just are not supposed to get married. Hallelujah. Then there are people, like how he said in 1 Corinthians 7, who do not use this world. For example, they are not in the economy anywhere. If the government was to do a census, they will not be counted. Hallelujah. If the government was to say how many were immunized of polio or what, surely just know there are those who are not in the statistics because they don't use this what? This world. So I'm saying all that group of people, here he's saying, they fall in the category of people who love not their lives. Now, here is the exception. The exception we talked about in 1 Peter, chapter 3. Aren't you? Because sometimes if somebody does not explain these things to us, we kind of get confused. Now, let me show you. Verse 10. Are you there? 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 10. Are you there? Let's read it together, whichever version you're reading. One and go. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile or speaking lies or something like that. Hallelujah. In the other scripture, he said, these people loved not their lives to the death. So they were martyrs. They were like people like Paul who were shipwrecked and some who were scourged and so on and so forth. And then there are people like the rest of us. Here in chapter 3 verse 10, he's saying, if you will love life and see good days, refrain your tongue from evil. God can't be telling you to love something you shouldn't. Are you getting it? So in other words, the ordinary rest of us are supposed to love life. Actually, if I found you walking in front of a car to knock you because you don't love this world, I would be concerned. Hallelujah. If I saw you doing things that don't seem like self-interest, you don't have any interest in self-preservation and the like, I would actually be concerned because ordinarily you should love life. Amen. Ordinarily, you should want to stay alive as long as possible without accidents, without disease, that's why you take your children for immunization. That is why you protect yourself from the rain. That is why you do all kinds of things. Because you love life, and you should. The life is from God. In fact, in Proverbs 3, I think it's 3 verse 10, it says, by me your days shall be multiplied, and the years of your life shall be what? Chapter 3, verse, is it 10? Yeah, verse 9. It says, honor the Lord with your substance, and with the first fruits of all your increase, so shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst forth with new wine. And then in chapter 9, if I remember right, it says that, talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy is understanding. Verse 11, chapter 9, verse 11, for by me your days shall be what? They shall be multiplied, and the years of your life shall be increased. Now, the martyrs, the monks, and those people in, those other people in general, do not meditate on such scriptures. Hallelujah. They are meditating on scriptures like the time of the putting off of my tent is drawing near.
They're meditating on scriptures like, I am going to Jerusalem, but the Spirit testifies that trials and afflictions are awaiting me. But in all these things, I am not afraid. Hallelujah. Those are the confessions of the monks and the martyrs and the eunuchs and people like that. But the ordinary people are supposed to be thinking about, by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Let me read for you. Let's read these other scriptures as well. Chapter 9, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 3. Are you there? Are you there? So, Paul says, my answer to them that examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord, and Peter? Oh, hallelujah. Can you just pause and think about that a bit? These brothers of the Lord is talking about were biological, okay, for lack of a better word, they were biological brothers of Jesus. Now, that is also another problem. Mary, who gave birth, the Blessed Virgin Mary, who gave birth to Jesus, went and had marital relations with her husband and gave birth. Can you imagine? If Mary could care about the things of this world. You guys. I think sometimes some of these things are overrated. Hallelujah. We misunderstand how deadly the things of this world are. Mary, that Ajudenema, the Blessed Virgin Mary, she did what? Mirembe Maria. Mirembe Maria went and had marital relations with her husband, and she gave birth to, I think there were 4 sons and sisters who are not numbered. Glory to God. James, Joseph, Jude, and Simon, if I remember. I remember that time when Jesus was saying he's anointed and so on, and they said, isn't this the carpenter's son? And don't we know him? And his brothers here with us, James, Simon, Jude, and Joseph, I think, and his sisters also. So, first problem, Mirembe Maria got into the things of this world. She cared about the things of her husband. And what? Saint Mary's. Anyway, so that's the second problem, is that also these children who are biological children, biological relatives of Jesus and I'm saying for lack of a better word, because Jesus was not born of a human seed. So, these brothers like James, like Joseph, like Simon, the Bible is telling us they had wives. Is that not so? And Paul is also making it worse and saying, don't I also have a right to do those things? He said, I should. Do you think it's only me and Barnabas who shouldn't have a wife? He says, no. So now look at the next thing. He says, is it only I and Barnabas, verse 6, who have no power to forbear working? Now that's the second thing. So people usually use the example of Paul and say Paul used to make tents and used to earn his livelihood. Remember, he used to say, I'm doing this so that I might teach you that unless somebody works, they shouldn't what? But remember, he kept emphasizing that I have a right to be sustained by the offerings. But you see, I am teaching you who is not a preacher how to live. Of course, you as a preacher do not wait for offerings. Are you getting it? Now, the problem is some preachers have gotten that scripture and said, you see, preachers should do what? Should make tents. They should work and do, because they don't perceive ministry work as work. And that is a mistake. Paul is saying, ordinarily, this is how you do it. Preachers preach and they live by the gospel. Glory to Jesus. So that those are just pointers to show us about the difference between the overcomers who do not use this world, and then the overcomers who use this world. The overcomers who use this world are the ones who must walk into the bank and use a credit card, go to the URA officials. They must engage in this world and from this world overcome this world. For example, bribery and extortion and things like that. Amen? Yet there are these other ones whose way of overcoming is God just doesn't want them anywhere near that system. He just doesn't want them anywhere near that area code. They should be where there are no. These are the people, as told some maybe 100 years ago or so, the days when they were, hundreds of years ago, when they were still compiling the manuscripts that made the Bible. And then they said there was a certain, I don't know whether he was a priest or something, but he was one of the people that God used every time these officials would meet. Like you've heard of the Nicene Creed, which was made by the Council of Nicaea, something like, Nicaea was a place. So there's the Nicene Creed, then there's the Apostles' Creed, and some of those events which helped to formalize the process of arriving at what? At this Bible. Now, they say that there was a certain individual he was always being hunted, I don't know whether by the Romans or whoever. And yet, for some reason, when those councils would meet, he would show up. From where? We don't know. But he would show up and then he would disappear. And then just like Philip, who was carried by the Spirit in chapter 8 of Acts, and then appeared at some other place. And then like that. So this guy would appear, and he was an authority. Maybe he was someone who was authoritative, such that if he said something, they took it seriously. But then he would disappear and go to some other. Perhaps it's like this John we're told about, John the Beloved, who is somewhere in Turkey or something, since the days of Jesus. Because they do not use this world. Hallelujah. They don't use this world. And it's possible that they also, because they don't use this world, their clothes are like the clothes of the Israelites. Remember, in the wilderness, the Bible says their clothes did not grow old. Their sandals did not grow old, which also means their sandals grew with them. That's wonderful, but it's not one of the things I'm believing for. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So that's what I'm trying to say. There are people who do not use this world. If he has one shirt, he can live with it for 50 years. He's okay. He doesn't care about this world. But some of us want to have another shirt and another, and it is actually good. Hallelujah. So let's read here. Now he says, is it only I and Barnabas who have no power to forbear working? Then in verse 7 he says, who goes to war on his own what? Charges. Who plants a vineyard and eats not of the fruit thereof? Who feeds the flock and eats not of the milk of the flock? The implication of those scriptures is that these kind of people we are talking about, they go to war on their own charges. Are you getting that? God sends you to preach. Then when you go there, he tells you also make tents. Are you getting that? Now that you're preaching for free. Yet people shouldn't be preaching for what? Hallelujah. Then he's saying, you have flocks, you tend the flocks, and the Lord tells you, don't dare touch the milk. Just raise the flocks, they produce milk, let everybody take the milk, not you. He says, you have a vineyard, you tend the vineyard and all that, but you don't dare do what? Drink of the fruit of the grapes. That's what I mean by the exceptional overcomers. They love not this life unto death. Even if he lived all his life and he never had a cell phone, he will be all right. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. So, verse 8, he said, do I say these things as a man? Or the law says the same also. For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treads out the corn. Does God take care for oxen, or does he say it altogether for us? For our sake, no doubt, this is written, that he that plows should plow in hope, and he that threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing that we shall reap your carnal things? If others are partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, look at that nevertheless. Let's read it together. Nevertheless, we have not used this power. That's what I wanted you to see. As those who are using this world, but not abusing it. But there are these ones who must not use this world. They have this power, but they don't use it. I'm reminded of these Hebrews 11 people. You'll notice he said, these all died in faith, not having received the what? The promise, but having seen it from afar, they embraced it and they all died in faith. Now, that's the same thing he's trying to tell us. That, in fact, the Bible also says there in Hebrews 11 that Abraham dwelt in the promised land with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. But they dwelt in this land as sojourners, as foreigners. The land was promised to them, but God said, don't touch. That's what I'm trying to say. It is yours, but God is saying, don't touch. And then when you die in faith, having not touched, the rest of us are saying, Kalibambi, the guy died. He died in faith. But the Lord is welcoming an overcomer in heaven. He says, man, you have overcome. And yet the overcoming is not like yours. You, when you're reporting that you overcame, your version is for the people who love life. Hallelujah. Then the version of these other people is for those who do not love their lives, even unto what? Even unto death. I think these are really great things for us to learn about. First and foremost, it means don't be ashamed of loving life. As the everyday believer, you shouldn't be thinking that I might be a martyr. I might be like Stephen. I might be here enjoying life and kumbe God is saying, Gwen, they are coming for you. No. That is not how he expects you to. He expects you to expect yourself to be among the what? The non-matters. Just like he expects you. It is very strange for someone to automatically think that they might be expected by God not to get married. Hallelujah. If you're here and you're not married, you should actually be thinking about getting married. That is the ordinary way it should be done. I have had many people who say that they believe they are not supposed to get married, and 2 months later, you find they are getting what? They're getting married, so it's okay. You joined the rest of us, the ones who love life. Now, and that's what God is telling us. We all have our overcoming to do. Thank God for the 7,000 who are in the cave. But we will not join them. Hallelujah. Unless God is the one telling you to go and join them, you stay out here with the rest of us. So that we may fight Jezebel from here where we can see each other. Hallelujah. Let the ones who are meant to hide from Jezebel hide. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 now. I'm telling you all these things, but the thing that the Lord had wanted me to not leave here without saying is that in all the things that we are overcoming, we are actually fulfilling what 1 John chapter 2 verse 16 tells us about Well, let's read there also. In 1 John chapter 2, remember the Bible tells us again about the world. Are you there? In chapter 2, verse 16. What does it say? All right, let's begin from verse 14, sorry. Okay? I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are what? You are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Then verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, hallelujah, but is of the world, and the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Now, the Lord wanted me to share with with you that in overcoming the world, in other words, the world system, we are actually contending with these hallmarks of the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. For example, when David was fighting Goliath, he was fighting the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. You see, it starts by you being intimidated by the enemy, to being impressed by the enemy, to being a friend of the enemy. Isn't that what happens? When an enemy is so strong and he comes and says, like Sennacherib came and told Hezekiah that all these other kingdoms, what did their gods do for them? Didn't I destroy them? Did their God help them? Blah, blah, blah. So essentially, he's trying to tell you, I'm so big. I'm so great. That's the pride of life. But also, it's the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, because you say, man, Sennacherib is impressive. He's a great guy. Sooner or later, you become, instead of his enemy, you become his friend. If you can't defeat them, no, you don't join them. You cancel. But I'm saying, defeat as we see from the Old Testament, defeat is assimilation. Assimilation means you get absorbed. Like when the Assyrians would come to a place, they would kill the kings and whatever. Then they would take you to their land, and then they would bring their people to your land. So sooner or later, there was no Israel. Like the northern portion of the kingdom disappeared because it was assimilated into the enemies. So sooner or later, Israelites and Assyrians were the same. Because they take you from here and take you to their place, which was Nineveh and other places, and then they bring their people here. So defeat is assimilation. When you're allowed to be defeated, you have consented to be assimilated in their culture, in their nation, and so on and so forth. So that is why you must not allow the pride of the enemy to be stronger than the glory of God. Hallelujah. Because it will not just be that you'll be defeated, you will have been more impressed by the enemy's power than by the power of God. Isn't that so? So that's why we are taught that we must never be impressed by the enemy. The Bible says, I think it's in Isaiah, forgotten where it is, but it says that who is this man who makes you afraid, yet he is just flesh? And then God who made all flesh, you are not afraid of God. You should rather be afraid of God who made all flesh than this man who is standing before you. So, like the testimonies we've had of people who have built their homes without debts, without bribes, without the like, that is what it implies. It implies you had an option here of a bribe, or you had an option of building a house. Hallelujah. Without a bribe. But building a house without a bribe, you had to overcome, because it will take you longer, it will take you more. But if you do win, you will have won against the pride of life and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the what? Like we've been told, in many of these companies, people do not get high positions without exchanging certain favors. Hallelujah. So they want to overcome the world, but there's an offer of the lust of the eyes and the lust of the what? Of the flesh. Which I said, by the way, the people in the monastery don't know about such things. They are not even trying to be a managing director of anything. But now it is you who is in the world who must not take the bribe, but also you must not get the position. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because you represent God. Hallelujah. So, I want to end with this one, who is in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Yes. So, verse 10. Are you there? So, it says, "For Demas has forsaken me, having this loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Christians to Galatia, Titus unto
Dalmatia. I remember just one last one. I promise this is the last. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Yes, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So I'm saying when it says Demas has loved this world, what does it mean? He loved the lust of the eyes. He lusted after the things that the eyes like. He lusted after the things that the flesh likes. You see, do you notice that you expected not to lust after these things, yet you are to love life? That's the moderation I was talking about. How do you love to have a good life without being obsessed? And that's essentially, that's what it is. You just have to keep yourself from being obsessed. And that is to give God all the glory and to keep him as your source and the one you live for. So 2 Corinthians 11 verse 29. I think this is a fitting place to end. 11 verse 23 actually to 29. So are you there? Okay. So Paul says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without or outside, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Verse 29, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I do what? I burn not. So I was just meaning to conclude for you there that the scripture is essentially telling us that even this person can say, I am not weak. I am beaten. I'm not like you people. I'm suffering, sufferings that are above what the ordinary person should. But in that, I'm also an overcomer. Just like you, an overcomer when you take just the salary you're supposed to take and no more. That's what John the Baptist told people who'd come to him, the soldiers, the officers. They said, what must we do? They're asking him about things of this world. John the Baptist said, just don't take more salary or more than what your salary should be. Then he tells others, don't harass, you know, people. Don't intimidate people because you're a soldier. Or don't do this. That is a different challenge from the other one who is not even there at all. He's not even there being an officer, a traffic officer on the road because he does not use this world. But all of them have to be overcomers. They overcome by abstinence. You overcome by moderation. Hallelujah. I hope I've said something. Hallelujah. Thank you very much.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.